Watching the NBA playoffs is always like fun, right? I think this is a fun time for a lot of basketball fans generally. They just get excited about watching really good basketball. But as I've said before, watching this year's NBA playoffs just kind of really reminds me of just how far this team really is off in the Chicago Bulls. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, we're going to get into the mailbag on today's episode, all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into this content, y'all. So, you know, the NBA playoffs, as I said in the intro, it's always fun to watch, right? It's fun to watch highly competitive basketball. When you look at the second round so far in these playoffs, every series is 2-1, three games in, which is really fun. No potential sweeps in this first round of the playoffs, which is really fun there. But then, you know, a team that, you know, I kind of talked about yesterday, and, you know, there was some reactionary things from fans when I talked about, you know, Josh Hart's comments. And people say, well, the Knicks haven't won anything in a decade either. Yeah, you're right. They haven't. But when you look at the Knicks, and the fact is that the Knicks over the last 3 years have gotten progressively better, whereas the Bulls have gotten progressively worse. Yeah, both teams were in the absolute pits for a long time there, right? We had a brief glimpse there with Derrick Rose. I think they went to the playoffs once with having Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony, if I'm not mistaken there. But, you know, the Bulls had a much better early 2000s than the New York Knicks. But now things have really turned. The New York Knicks, you know, somebody said that the Knicks got lucky in signing Jalen Brunson. I don't really look at it that way. I say and look at it this way. The Knicks were smart enough to go out and get Jalen Brunson at a time where a lot of people question of how can you really build a team or how good is really Jalen Brunson without Luka Doncic? And they bet on that. And then after that point, they've went out and been aggressive in making moves, continually get that team better. They were a 50-win team this season, and they're in the second round of the playoffs, having a series lead of 2-1. They are much further ahead than where the Chicago Bulls are right now. It just is what it is. You look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, another team that, you know, through making smart moves, is now, again, they're down 2-1, but they're much further ahead than the Chicago Bulls are, right? So, you know, it's just those things. Watching this playoffs, it reminds me of just, you know, during the season, every game is meaningful. It's the regular season, right? But the Bulls haven't really played super meaningful basketball in quite a while. It's been 10 years, a decade, since the Bulls last won a playoff series. That is where this team is right now. And so, you know, in seeing and watching, you know, these playoffs, it's just, we want to get back there. Now, you have Bulls fans that disagree on how to get there. I am one that I take the mindset of, as long as you eventually get there and you build something sustainable, I'm all for it, even if that means getting worse to get better, right? And that is a thing that sometimes happens in professional sports. You have some Bulls fans that, oh, well, if the Bulls don't sign Paul George and trade for this and do this, and we gotta trade DeMar DeRozan, and then we can trade Vooch and Zach, and we can get this player back. And it's like, I get it, and that sounds great. And there are some teams that are able to do that in off seasons. But that sounds a lot like 2K, right? And the thing that this team suffers from the worst, it seems like, is that this front office is terrified to get worse. That is ultimately going to make them better. And, you know, when we talk about like the 2025 first round pick, right? And how the Bulls, you know, in this offseason can make a determination on what they're really trying to do in the 2025 draft or what hopes they have in the 2025 draft, which is a lot deeper than this draft. But the team that we have right now, you know, It's a culmination of events that got us here. AK built something solid when he went out and got Lonzo, when he went out and got DeMar and Alex Caruso and traded for, like, that was solid. Yeah, that team was number one team in the East. We wouldn't have stayed there. I was one of the few Bulls content creators when we were number one team in the East. You can go back and check this. I was like, hey, probably not going to stay here with the way that we're playing. We're going to drop some. People are like, you're crazy, Hayes. I'm confused. Are the Bulls winning or are they not? And it's like, yeah, but you got to see the bigger picture. We were a team at that point that were losing against some of the better teams in the NBA. We were beating a lot of the bottom feeders, but that was a nice foundation that came crumbling down because of injury, right? And so, you know, this front office went out and had a vision and then never really pivoted off that vision well up until now. We'll see what they do this offseason. And on the same day that the draft lottery is tonight, maybe some of that vision starts becoming a little bit more clear for the Chicago Bulls on draft night or whatever else it is. Like, what we'll end up seeing, right? It's it's going to be fun to watch and process and things like that, and we'll see what we end up getting from it and coming out of it. But ultimately, it's just this team is not truly competitive. It just isn't. And I know as Bulls fans, we have hopes, and we look at it and say, well, if Lonzo comes back or if Zach LaVine was playing and if we do this and if we do that, and I'm sorry, I hate to tell you, but if you look at the style of basketball these teams that play in the playoffs, not just whether the results and if they get the win or not, the style that they play, right? The style, the fact that they do move without the ball, the fact that they do have an edge and a different level of intensity that they can kick it up to, the fact that they are at times winning the chess match in coaching, these are all areas that the Bulls fell at. And so, you know, not to say that you can fix all of that in one offseason or not, but we just want this team to be fighting for something again. Like, can we get a playoff series victory first? Can we build a team that can win a playoff series, right? That's the first step, right? Get to the playoffs. Make the playoffs outright, not go through the play-in. You know, it is what it is. We end up winning the play-in to get to the playoffs. Nobody's going to knock it, right? But you just got to continually progress. And this team has technically gotten worse as far as record-wise every season for the past 3 years. That's just where we've been. That's not no ifs, ands, or buts or something objective or subjective. Like, no, it is objective. It's not subjective. The Bulls have gotten worse. That just is what it is. The Bulls have gotten worse. And as long as that keeps being the thing for the Chicago Bulls team, it's hard-pressed to look at it no matter how glass half full or glass half empty you look at it and say, hey, is this team getting to the place? Are they making the necessary moves to get to the place that we want them to be to? Because, listen, right now, no, they're not. We've gotten worse, and there's been circumstances for that. Make no mistake about it, right? Injuries have played a part. Losing Zach LaVine for a full. These things play a part. I'm not trying to act like they don't. They absolutely play a part. But at the same time, when you are a team that tries to sell you on competitiveness, when you're a front office that tried to come in here and sell us on the fact that we're going to try to build, it's about winning championships, this fan base, this organization needs to win titles, you are far off from that. And so getting to the place of playing meaningful basketball again, I think is something that every Bulls fans wants. And you have to take a little risk to get there. And I think Bulls fans don't really trust AK to take the risk, and the risk end up working out. And that's fine, because that's what this front office has earned by the moves that they have made or not made. And so just watching this, and, you know, on draft lottery night, where maybe the Bulls can get a little bit of luck in the draft lottery and things like that, regardless of it, is that the distrust right now in this front office is palpable. Because, you know, me and Pat talked about the draft lottery over on Locked On Bulls yesterday. And Pat made a great point. It's like, all right, bet we get the number. Let's say we do get a top four pick. How much trust do we really have in AK to get that right? Are we going to be looking again in 2-3 years and realize there are about 3 picks that went after where the Bulls picked that ended up being better? And that's always the risk of a draft. But at some point, you got to stop being on the wrong side of that, right? You can only keep being on the wrong side of history for so long until it's like, all right, it's not just bad luck. It's you. It's you and your inability to truly scout talent. And that's something that we have to ask ourselves as well. And it's going to be told over time. Now, could Julian still turn out to be damn good NBA players? Yeah. I'm not somebody who's given up on those guys yet, considering the minutes that they played, XYZ. I'm not even somebody who's given up on P-Will. I see a lot of people still, oh, well, P-Will's a bust because he's this and he's that and he's that, he's not this. And, you know, it comes down to, you know, we've seen a player in Coby White this year make a leap in his 5th year. And that's not something you typically see. And you're going to see a lot more players make those leaps, especially when they go to teams that kind of change their mold, right? Like, the Bulls didn't know what the hell they were doing when they initially drafted Coby. Garpax, and they were still just hoping something was going to stick to the wall. AK came in. He talked about, you know, building organically through the draft, immediately shifted off that at that trade deadline. Cool. But the modus operandi of the team has changed almost every single year, every single phase, right? And so, you know, that plays a part into it as well. But at some point, you gotta nail down on something, and you gotta just see it throughout. And the one thing that AK, I think, has not done heavily is just seeing something throughout, through the good and the bad. As soon as something goes left, we'll see. But let me know what you guys think. Like I said, it's kind of me just working through some thoughts, man. It really sucks that Bulls have not played meaningful basketball in quite a while, right? Truly meaningful. And like I said, every regular season game, unless you're a team that like wins 10 games, is meaningful to a degree because you're fighting and competing for something. So in a way, yeah, the Bulls, they were competing for playing spot and with the hopes of making the playoffs. But when you talk about truly meaningful postseason play, it's been quite a while for the Bulls, man. And maybe our luck can change on that with whatever AK and Eversley do this offseason. Maybe I'm just being a little too hopeful, but, you know, that hope is starting to wear thin a little bit. But It is Sunday. That means it's mailbag day. Let's go ahead and get into the voicemails for today. This first one, this one's from Reginald.
Hey, this is Reginald from Columbus, Georgia. I just want to say something before the former Milwaukee Bucks play, especially Jimmy Butler. I know you're going to have a lot of bullshit saying, hey, Riley, Jimmy, and it's a tough time to go after him. But I hate to say it, but I don't think that'd be a good idea, simply because Jimmy is getting older. His style of play is going to result in more injury, and there are going to be more problems. Plus, he's going to want an extension that's going to cost about 2 years, $150 million, added on to the $48 and $50 million he's already going to get on the contract. So for me, I don't want, you know, that massive contract on the team. Even though I would love to have his work effort and his leadership ability, we all saw that last year. And instead of being continuing for really 2 years, continuing ever since he became the guy. But what's your opinion on whether or not the Bulls should inquire about Jimmy Butler?
All right, Reggie, listen, it was a struggle, bro. I don't know if you're too close to the phone, too far away from the phone. I don't know what it is, bro. Get in a silent room. That call was difficult. And you have great points. And I just want it to be maximized. I'm sure a lot of people are going to kind of struggle in what you were saying there. But Jimmy Butler, I don't want the Bulls to revisit Jimmy Butler. I don't think Jimmy Butler would revisit the Bulls. If Jimmy does leave the Miami Heat, Jimmy is still somebody who's trying to compete for a title, I truly believe, by everything I've known, seen, and stuff from Jimmy. And the Bulls are far off from that. I don't think Jimmy's one of those players who's going to come to a reunion tour with the Bulls unless he really thinks his addition really makes the Bulls able to fight for something in the Eastern Conference. And the Bulls are far off from proving that. Now, we have promising pieces. He can look at Kobe. He can look at Io. Maybe our draft pick from this year is somebody who develops over the course of this year as well. And then Jimmy really looks at it and says, all right, maybe we got something there if I can come. But at the same time, is it not repeating kind of the same mistakes as DeMar? And, you know, they're very different players. Jimmy is a two-way player. And, you know, I still think he's one of the better two-way players, even though he's starting to take a bit of a slide. You can start seeing his rotational defenses, you know, in pick and roll and stuff isn't what it used to be. He's not able to switch to as many positions as he used to be able to. But that's just something that comes with age. But a Jimmy Butler reunion for the Chicago Bulls isn't really on my radar. I don't know how many Bulls fans really think about that either. I can't speak for the whole Bulls community. There may be some Chicago Bulls fans that really look at potentially adding Jimmy Butler and say, this is exactly what I want this team to do this offseason. And you guys sound off, please. If you're on the YouTube side, if you're on the podcast side, you guys, you know, I'll tell you how to get your thoughts in. But leave a comment. Is a Jimmy Butler reunion with the Chicago Bulls something that people are still hoping for or wishing for? I would say that I did kind of have hope before he signed with the Miami Heat. I was kind of looking at it like, hey, it would be cool if Jimmy came back here. But I think where Jimmy is now, Jimmy's trying to get a ring. And I don't think the Bulls are in a position to even remotely, Jimmy, to even know, no matter how much he squints his eyes right now, currently, and looking and saying, this is a team that I think I can run, make a run with. But we'll end up seeing, man. We'll end up seeing. Seems like not all things are all peachy over in Miami now with Pat Riley's comments on Jimmy kind of shutting up if he's on the sideline. You know, also reportedly that they're ready to pay Bam like a foundational piece, whereas there's some questions if they're ready to pay Jimmy. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But, you know, I just say this, where the state of the team is right now, not that Jimmy wouldn't absolutely help. I just don't know if the money and things would be something that would make sense. But, you know, things could change by then. We'll end up seeing. All right, let's get into the next voicemail. This one is from Michael Korn.
Hey, how you doing? Mike Korn here. Happy Mother's Day to your family, all your listeners. Thanks for your eloquent words about DeMar DeRozan and his memoir, Mental Health. And you really see the resiliency of in his character and how he plays ball, man. It manifests itself in his game. I just finished listening to your podcast about, you know, small market versus you know, big market teams. And to be honest, I think that's kind of irrelevant to me. It's more important, like, do you spend wisely? And that's where I think about the last couple of years, you know, and at least in retrospect, that, you know, the max for Zach, look what position it put us in now, and re-signing Vooch, which, you know, which brings me to this question. Who would you rather have for the Bulls right now? Vucevic or Daniel Gafford, you know, based on how they play. Talk with you later. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Great insight and great question at the end there that I'm going to jump into. right now, Gafford or Vooch, and I would say Gafford probably. Like, and that's not to knock Vooch. Like, what Vooch brings offensively, when Vooch is playing, and, you know, I've talked about it before, in Bulls wins, when Bulls wins games, it's not directly correlated because we've won games where Vooch has played like shit, but in some of our bigger games, when Vooch plays well, in wins, Vooch makes a really big impact on those games. And not to say that Daniel Gafford, he's not a threat to stretch the floor at all like that, but I think when you look at Gafford, somebody who can run with Kobe, run with Io, be solid in pick and roll defense, right? Brings a lot of those, that type of defense and shot blocking and things. Not really a true rim protector, but he can do some of that as well. But yeah, it's an extremely interesting thing to watch out for. But like, just to bring it home, in wins, in the Chicago Bulls wins, when Vooch was on the floor, Vooch in wins averaged 19.6 points per game, one block, 11 rebounds. He shot the ball 48% from the field and 31% from three, and 3.4 assists. Vooch in the Bulls wins, and that's 36 out of the Bulls' 39 wins. Vooch plays an important part when the Bulls win, and that is because of his ability to hit shots and things like that, kind of even in the mid-range when his three's not falling. But, you know, Daniel Gafford, what do you bring defense-wise, the switchability defensively, stuff like that, man, hey, that's – I would probably have to lean Gafford, but there's a case to be made that Nikola Vucevic too. But, you know, maybe it's just because Gafford brings what Vooch lacks, but also Vooch brings what Gafford lacks in a lot of ways offensively and passing-wise as well. So, you know, we'll see. Well, I mean, we won't see because we're not getting Gafford back, but let us know what you guys think on that down below. All right, let's get into this next voicemail. This one's from Korn.
Hey, what's the word, King? It's Korn. Let's go ahead. Let's get right into this, man. Today, I want to talk about AK, Arturis, all right? Mike Eversley, too, in an extent. I'm going to say something that's very unpopular, and that's okay to a lot of people. I'm going to be patient and give them the shot that, you know what I'm saying, I understand why he kept things together for so long. You know, I had to go and look from it from his eyes because we all got to remember, like he said, the team that he had vision, the team that he had in mind that he built. We saw it. Lonzo, Zach, DeMar, Caruso, Vooch, P. Will, Kobe, Io off the bench. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. We don't know if he would have stayed in first place or not. Probably would have been top three, top four to end out the season. But we was booming and we was praising him. We can't blame him for the injuries of Lonzo. We can't blame him what's going on with Zach. We can't blame him for the regression of Vooch. We can't blame him for the regression of DeMar. Now, has he made the right moves since post-Lonzo, Zach, and everything? Of course not. Bringing in fillers, what I call them, like Javon Carter, Toy Craig, And like you said, I'm tired of this team moving like a small market team. This fucking Chicago, man. It's fucking Chicago, baby. You know what I'm saying? This is a big, big market when it comes to sports. L.A., New York, Chicago, Boston. That's what we think of when we think of great sports cities. So I don't understand in big-time sports cities. We ain't fucking Oklahoma. So that's what I'm going to look at and look towards and what's he acting. I'm giving him a shot. I'm going to give him his benefit of the doubt, which I know ain't nobody is pretty much giving him right now. Y'all pretty much gave up on him. I am going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but this is it. If he don't show up and don't make the right moves or the moves that I feel like he needs to make this team, I ain't trying to say make it a championship, but move forward in the future, we have an issue. We have a real issue. And then that's why I'm going to lose all faith. But appreciate you like always, King. Blessings. See you red till I die, my nigga.
All right, so... listen, I get what you're pointing at, and you said, you know, it's not AK's fault of injuries and things like that. You're right, but I think you missed a key point there. Injuries, declines, he's not in control of them per se, but he is in control of who's on the roster, right? And so he has kept players around that are on declines, right? And, you know, I talked about it then. Yeah, you kind of were in a position where you had to re-sign Vooch. I know a lot of Bulls fans say you should have just let him walk, but because of where that team was and the fact that they were still trying to compete, it'd be different if they were a team that was a team that was comfortable with saying, hey, we'll let the draft pick be what it's going to be this year, but they weren't. And so you kind of had to re-sign Vooch. But here's the thing. I don't care about AK making the moves I think that he should make or any Bulls fan thinks he should make. I care about AK making the right moves. And some of that may not be immediate. It may immediately look like the wrong move, but if it works out in the long run, right? And that's the thing where I think I don't have as much faith in AK and Eversley's. I don't trust the decisions in the long run. They can make a decision that makes sense right there on paper now, but then in the long run, is it going to work out? That's the part that I've lost faith in. And for me, when you lose faith in a front office for the long-term ability to get decisions right, that's where I personally start wavering on that on their front office. But I agree with you. This, I've said this multiple times as well. This is kind of the last offseason where I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. Go out there and show me what you can do. Otherwise, it's all negative. And we'll see what they can do. It's going to be extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. But I think I keep hanging on AK's words where he said, we got to get back to more of what we did our first year here. And that was also an offseason where they had no true cap space for real, but they made shit shake. Can AK make shit shake? We'll see. We'll see. All right, let's get into the last one. This one's actually a text message from Los. Los said this. What did he say? Thank you for this option. It's still 2 more weeks before I can try to speak normally again. Shout out to speedy recovery to you, Los, in your recovery. He says, before I forget, every time I click on the NBA Central link in the description, it says deactivated. I even tried different browsers. I do a manual search. Just wanted to let you know. Well, the channel's definitely not that, so I'll check on that. But he says this. Unfortunately, it seems as if the Bulls front office is forced to make changes to the roster due to not wanting to exceed the luxury tax and losing free agents this offseason. Instead of being forced to make changes because of wanting to improve this team to win. You asked us to respond to Josh Hart's comments on the Bulls operating in a small market, a team in a big market, not wanting to win in 10 years. At first, I thought the Knicks haven't won anything in recent years either. They do, though, make moves to improve their team, even trading what would have been valuable pieces to other teams if it means getting better. So he's right. The Bulls have been operating like a small market team for years when other small market teams create assets and make more difference making moves, thus improving their team or at least giving their team an opportunity to consistently get better. I couldn't have said it any better myself, brother. That's really what it comes down to for me is that, yeah, people can say you can, and it's a legit set thing to say is that the Knicks haven't really won. They haven't won a title. They haven't won the Eastern Conference Finals, and that's all correct. But when you look at their path and their trajectory, it's in a much better trajectory than where the Chicago Bulls are right now by far. And so, you know, and not even just to make it about the Knicks. Let's say forget any other team. The Bulls are in a trajectory right now where we've gotten worse by record over the last 3 seasons. We need to start correcting this ship and start getting better. And that's really all that I want to see. I think that's all what a lot of Bulls fans want to see as well. And let's hope that this season can be one of those seasons where we start turning that around. Thank you, Los, for sending in that text message, brother. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See Red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
School savings are officially in session at Tanger Outlets. Shop tax-free July 30th through August 8th and save up to 70% off the latest school styles. The best of apparel, footwear, accessories, and more. Save at Nike Factory Store, American Eagle, Gap Outlet, Crocs, Under Armour, Banana Republic Factory, and hundreds more. There's always something happening. Discover the latest fun and events all season long. Tanger Outlets, your savings destination.